You're listening to Building the Dream, a show that inspires people to explore business, entrepreneurship, and professional development. I'm Matt Lambert.
And I'm Alex Kazitsa, and we're sitting down with business professionals and entrepreneurs to talk about their journeys, the lessons they've learned, and how they're building their dream.
What's up, Dream Squad? It's Matt and Alex here. We are sitting down with Nathan Lipinski of MC Cubed and Platt.
Hi, how are you?
Nathan, can you give us two interesting facts about yourself?
I learned how to play the piano in medical school, and I have 15 beautiful hens.
That's a unique fact. Nathan, why don't you give us a little bit of background information? Just tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay, so again, my name is Nathan Lipinski. I am the founder of a company in Duluth called MC Cubed. Essentially, we are this incubator and creative workspace that people can come to when they maybe don't know the right direction for an idea they have. So essentially, the path to bringing something from thought to actual reality can be kind of, you know, intimidating. And so now that we have done it multiple times, the path is paved, we're able to like much more easily get people from, you know, pre-idea to post-processing. And so we do here at MC Cubed 3D printing, prototyping, mobile app development. We have apparel lines we have contracted with a group that we have made a safer gum lock in a time where that's a really relevant issue.
Yeah.
And so it's been really an awesome experience with the diversity of work that we have to kind of like bring these ideas to fruition and really make people's dreams come true.
Yeah. So to touch on the idea of app development, what made you want to develop this app, Platt?
So Platt is full name Platonic. Platt for short, it's like Snap and Snapchat.
Yeah.
Platt's for short. Platt is an incredible platform that we're developing. Essentially, we have kind of streamlined the people meeting process. So what we do here primarily is app development, and we study how people meet. And so what we did is we did a ton of research on the points of pain for when people are meeting for the first time. And we took those pain points and found different ways to optimize them. And then we integrated those into a mobile app branded through the identity of being a non-sexual relationship. And so what that means is essentially you can go onto the Platonic or platform and move people, get people to come to an event. Say you want to play pickleball, you say, I need five people right now. You post an event, people are able to quickly go in, fill up that event. If it gets to five people, there's a waiting list. It's kind of a really real-time meetup app that allows people to really explore people around them with the same mutual interest. And so currently, there's no way to do that. We always say dating apps are for dating. Mm-hmm. Facebook's great for the friends you already have, and mm-hmm. Twitter's for people who like don't have anybody to text. And so, like, there's just no like culturally accepted way to online meet people with the same interests as you. And so what we did is we really creatively kind of curated this app in order to facilitate those interactions and be the bridge between culture, mutually invested interest, and overall just promoting social well-being in kind of a time and era where mental health is really a big and prevalent public health issue.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. One thing that I wish I had Platt for is being able to find activities that my friends don't normally do.
Right.
That would be a huge thing because I have some nerdy tendencies. I used to play Pokemon, the trading card game, and it was really hard to find people to play with, especially as it has the stigma of being a kid's game. So if I had something like this when I was in high school or even starting out in college, it would have been way easier to find people that I could link up with.
Right. And so after all our research we did, we actually found that people are most likely to use this kind of tool in an environment where they feel away from home potentially, vulnerable, very new setting. And so what we narrowed it down to and fit the perfect mold is college freshmen. Mm-hmm. And so it's for people who, I think we all have this ideology of when we're going to college that it's going to be this picturesque experience of studying in the grass or
play frisbee on the quad.
And I think you maybe get there and realize that it's not necessarily that experience. And so for people who maybe are falling behind, maybe you're, like you said, your friends just don't have the same interests as you, because mm-hmm. I think we've all had that happen before.
Oh, absolutely.
Or inevitably you get canceled on. This is a way for people to facilitate that, kind of based off of the common like college interests. Mm-hmm. And so kind of the objective is to teach people that this is a tool. And then as they grow to sophomore, to junior, to senior, to a young professional, that this is a community where we facilitate those bridges between people who have maybe never would have crossed paths.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Awesome.
Yeah. So let's step back just a little bit. So let's talk about, how did you make the leap from medical school, a fairly safe profession, to learning to be a physician, to you know, the path of starting your own business? What made you make that decision?
Yeah, so it's a great question, and there's probably multiple answers that I could say, but it was really interesting. So I started MCQ'd my first year of medical school. I'd come up with this little device that could tell if your freezer ever lost power. It was like a super simple, cheap, easy and effective way to monitor the temperature. And so it kind of got maybe those creative juices flowing in terms of like design, realizing that the scope of science had me so kind of narrow-sighted for so long that I maybe didn't even realize that all these other possibilities were out there. And so I got a taste, and I started to really pick up on patent law, business models. I learned how to code from YouTube.
Love it.
Just all of these kind of, I don't think people realize that there's so many resources out there for you to kind of improve just various skills that you're interested in. And ultimately I made the decision, and I kind of found like maybe this wasn't my calling. And switching paths was a little messy at times. I was trying to manage the company and go to medical school at the same time. And inevitably, after I finished my second year, I resigned from medical school. Obviously, like it's a very kind of honorable and prestigious resignation to accept for, and so it was not a lightly taken decision. I mean, I thought about it for a very long time, and I think since I've left, I haven't looked back. So I really enjoy what I do today. To be on a team and to build a team that is so effective and has such passion for a mutual goal is like the foundation of what I wanted this to kind of be built off of. And I always tell people, you know, leave it to a group of Minnesotans to build an app
to make friends.
That's awesome.
So on the topic of building your team, how did you decide what you wanted to hire for and what jobs you wanted to do yourself for this? Because in a startup, you have limited resources, but you also have limited time.
That was probably one of the bigger challenges. And fortunately, you're unfortunately, you kind of just have to learn from experience. And if I have one tip for anybody that is hiring for the first time, is check references. people are really willing to, if the position wasn't a good fit for them in the past, let you know, or give you good feedback on things that they did do. And to decide on what I needed was really a big gamble. I mean, you really don't, I think there's no book on like how to start a new like business, I mean, you can get all these people together, but if you don't have the right leadership and guidance for them, then it's like an ineffective way of like running a business. And so learning through that and like being able to kind of hold people accountable is super important as a leader. And I actually don't, in my office, I struggle with confrontation. I was like one issue I think maybe like ingrained in me as a Minnesotan. And so I really don't like conflict. And so we call in our office, we term it rumble. So it's like when we need to have a serious conversation that maybe could potentially, like, you know, very emotion comes with this because mm-hmm. we're building something from the ground up and mm-hmm. people's feelings are going to get hurt. That's something I just had to kind of accept as a company leader. But if we aren't all on the same bus going in the same direction, you have to get off the bus. Because mm-hmm. Like you said, time and resources are so limited mm-hmm. and it's really a struggle in terms of, instead of me pulling you with me, I need you to help push me forward.
Right.
And so finding those people, I have learned to identify it right away in people. You can tell if they're going to be like that or not. And mm-hmm. so typically those people are really hungry for more than what they have now and what they think the possibility is. I mean, these are big thinkers, outside the box kind of people mm-hmm. that we look for.
Would you say that's why you look towards entrepreneurial study majors for your internships then?
Yep. We do a ton with the university. I get a lot of interns from them. And I think like the biggest thing for advice I have for college students is when you finally like make that leap into the industry that you're focusing in. I mean, we're a startup, so we have a very startup culture. It is very kind of self-guided. People are doing things that, I mean, I expect that you're the professional in your domain, and I would expect you to have those skills and come with them and like help push our mission forward based off of what we all agreed upon.
As opposed to like having to waste time and energy like training and like teaching somebody the skills and that you want them to have.
They're very like great jobs for people who like would like that, yep. but some people don't. And I think differentiating between those kind of people and the people that are self-starters, they identify issues without much direction, or, you know, we have 8 different projects going on right now. And so I feel like my role as like the founder of MC Cubed is to manage those projects. I've had to like hand down a lot of responsibility to these people. And so trust is a really big thing.
Yeah.
And I think what you don't really think about in college is that how important the culture is that you establish inside of your workplace. It can make or break anything. And one person can like totally taint a culture.
Yeah.
But those are the people that get off the bus pretty quick. But I think the biggest challenge with the college students is we are constantly innovating and designing new concepts and topics and like exploring snow that's been untreaded, right? Mm-hmm. And so when you're the first one there, it's kind of dirty. It's not very fun, you know, walking 12 inches deep in snow your first time.
And you don't know where you're going.
The road is blocked. And yep. so to be able to take these students who have kind of been spoon-fed syllabuses and requirements and study guides and say, all right, now I need you to take a 180 and start kind of putting out that information of what you learned has been a big challenge. And so a lot of the times they ask me, well, I don't know how to do that. And so I was like, okay, well, where did you look? I haven't looked anywhere. I'm like, all right, so let's maybe, you know, how
go learn it.
If you like, because it would take me the same amount of time to watch a YouTube video as you right. to yeah. watch a YouTube video. And so I can provide you with all the resources you need to be successful, but I can't put in, I just, as much as I would love to do every role, I just simply can't. Mm-hmm. And I think knowing that as an entrepreneur is like one of the biggest steps, especially when you start to scale.
Absolutely. Delegation is key.
And documentation.
Yeah. So that kind of answered one of our questions, but I want to know, like, what are your actual duties? Like, what are you doing on a day-to-day basis as the founder and as the company leader?
So I think, before I was an entrepreneur, I think the lifestyle looked like really sexy. Mm. Like, it's
very Lambos and Martinis.
But what you don't realize is every new project we start is I'm the first one that goes down in the trench and starts digging the hole, mm-hmm. you know, and it's dirty. There's water. It's muddy. I'm getting swamp foot.
It doesn't smell good.
And it sucks. But that, like, I feel as a leader, you know, I work really hard and I try to lead by example. And so when people see me down there, they know it's okay to come down too. And it's not always a trench, you know, but you first have to dig a trench before you can build a road.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, that it's been a really eye-opening experience and a really respect for people who take that big risk. It's also a humongous thrill. I mean, every day is such a roller coaster of emotions it's like, oh my God, you know, we've made it. And then the next hour it's like, we're bankrupt. And then it's like, no, we're okay. But I really, you know, sick as it is, I love the thrill. It's just a testament to how many times you can get back up and keep going. Because, you know, every entrepreneur that's successful has probably failed like thousands of times.
That's an age-old adage there. So.
And so I do think being an entrepreneur is like half the chaos of the arts and half the discipline of the sciences, because you have to kind of let things kind of organically go, mm-hmm. And take feedback as you get it, but you also have to be very structured in the way that you kind of conduct yourself and lead your team, because they're the ones looking at you for the really important decisions.
So on the topic of leadership then, not everybody is a born leader. Do you have any inspiration that comes from somebody else that you mirror their style?
Yeah, so I do. I actually really like the author Brené Brown. She's like an incredible, I don't know if you guys have ever heard of her.
I don't think I have.
We study here like human emotion around how people think when they meet another person. And there's so many different things. She studies shame, vulnerability, and other human emotions. Mm. And she's done these incredible studies on like what that means and why that's important. I think that when people are more vulnerable, you get like a much more accurate description and like interpretation of who they are. Mm-hmm. But people don't like to show vulnerability all that often. But as a leader, I feel like it's one of my biggest assets to be able to demonstrate that and let people know and be transparent about everything that's going on so that we can, as a unit, move forward together.
Mm. I'm sure it makes people more comfortable if you're willing to show that vulnerability and that side.
Absolutely. And, you know, she had mentioned, she's like, she had a professor in school that said, if you can't measure it, it doesn't exist. And well, that's not necessarily true, because you can, things are so subjective in their measurements, especially when it comes to like human emotion.
Yeah.
Everybody interprets something so differently.
Mm-hmm.
And she's just a great resource for people who are looking to like break out of their shell and potentially, maybe make that first step into like leading a more wholehearted life.
Yeah. Wow. Very inspirational.
Yeah, she's really cool. I highly recommend it.
Yeah. Awesome. So I'm sure there's been quite a few challenges along the way, but what have been some of like the big ones? What kind of things have you had to overcome?
I think it actually probably was worse in this role than in medical school, but we call it in medical school imposter syndrome.
Mm. Okay. Fake it till you make it.
Fake it till you make it. And it's terrifying because who's ready to start a company? Probably nobody.
Right.
I mean, right.
You kind of just have to do it.
You have to just do it. And Nike, right? We were looking at vision statements today, and one of theirs was, if you have a body, you're an athlete. And we tend to athletes. So I think understanding and assigning roles and holding people accountable has been really tough. Mm-hmm. Especially in like an environment like ours, we're very relaxed. And now we've implemented a lot of resources like Trello, Teamwork, Slack, in order to facilitate kind of a half remote, half in-person team. So what's really been cool for the students that I've worked with is we actually contract out our iOS team to a company in Manhattan. And I recruited a team of computer science majors who are learning along in tandem, developing the Android side. And so I don't think they even realize right now how like awesome they are for making these networks. And then by the time they've graduated, have been taught the project management app process and development from literally start to finish. I had a lot of them before the concept of Plaid like even came to fruition. And I think they love what they do, and they really like understand the mission and kind of page that we're all on, which is really a great experience for them.
Awesome.
So what's new in the future for Plaid? Do you guys, is there any release parties, any sort of events around it?
Yeah, so we're actually undergoing like a huge, like we're going to version 2.
Oh.
And so we're still in beta. We actually just recently switched iOS teams to a more senior development team. We started kind of on a cheaper route, and now the implementation of this senior team has like been night and day. It's been really great.
Yeah.
So we're hoping to have like a big launch by January 1st, 2020. And I always tell people building an app is similar to like constructing a coral reef. Like it happens slowly over time. We listen to what our users want and what our users need and what problems they're having. Mm-hmm. And then we integrate those into the app to make it a more useful tool. I'm reading a book right now, it's called The Habit. It's about habit forming apps, and they talk about how people check their phones like on average 132 times a day.
I believe it.
Yeah.
And like what a habit our phones are. I thought it was really cool. So I was with someone last night at Catalyst, the music festival, and they said at bars you used to like get a number, like a post-it note on your shoulder, and that would be assigned to a mailbox, like just all these little mailboxes that they had, and you would message people in their mailbox if you liked them. But what a transition now from like a totally digital or like paper filled world to like a digital world. And we feel here at MCQ that Platonic is just a product of our time. Mm-hmm. We're the leader in the brand trust that facilitates those bridges between people who may like never cross paths.
Yeah. And I like that it's sourced, or it's surrounded by like events, or like it's based on events. That's super cool too. Like if you want to go rock climbing, and yeah, maybe none of your friends go rock climbing.
Can set a user cap. So say you want an event, you need 11 people for a soccer game. 11 people can quickly sign up, and then it becomes like gray. You can join the waiting list in case somebody doesn't sign up and you're the event coordinator. You can just add people really quickly. We choose intensity levels so that you have kind of an awareness of what you're getting into.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really like this comprehensive experience. As we gain more trust, we can allow people to give us more data. So we can show you if you have mutual friends with these people. We can show you if you're following some of the same people on Instagram. We don't want to start, you know, too assertive in the data sharing realm, because we know that's a sensitive topic and safety is our number one priority here.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, like the only resource is for people to meet other people is either a dating app, the bar, or church. And like, and a lot of people, you know, especially the younger generation, maybe not would be around such a crowd. And mm-hmm. so whether you're looking for someone to fish with or skydive, this is a great resource for you to like find those people and do it in like a really fast, efficient manner.
Yeah. Oh, awesome. That's super cool. I'm super excited for the app to come out. So January 1st, 2020, that's the official launch date.
And what can our viewers do if they want to join the beta?
So you can go to platonicpeople.com and sign up. We have both the Android and iPhone versions there. And keep watching for updates. We send out email updates all the time. And we're super excited to launch this whole redesign. So check it out while it's still organic, beta 1, and be prepared for a really big improvement coming up.
Fantastic. All right. Well, thank you very much, Nathan.
Nice to talk with you guys. Always a pleasure. Absolutely. Thank you, Duluth.